Welcome to PMP Network. My name is Mark Snyder, and with us right now is a man who you may not know yet. I was not familiar with his singing career, but the guy is amazing. Now, you might have heard of him through the Ear National Guard band Sidewinder, because that became an internet sensation, and he was the lead singer of that band, and went to the White House and the World Series, a bunch of different places. But he has got an album out now that I really, really love. That's why I'm doing the interview. I want to promote it. It is called Soul of Cash. Brian Owens is singing these great songs from Johnny Cash, and I got to tell you, he does an amazing job on them. It's a new take on some of the great music that you're familiar with. So let us welcome Brian Owens to the PMP.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I had not been familiar with the music, but I just listened to the entire Soul of Cash album, and I loved it. So tell us a little bit about how you were exposed to the music of Johnny Cash.
Probably the first time I saw Johnny Cash was on television when I was about 10 or 11 years old in an episode of Columbo that my dad was watching. And in some ways, it kind of went over my head. I didn't really understand who he was. But he was singing Hank Williams' tune, I Saw the Light. And I thought it was pretty cool. But at that moment in my life, I didn't necessarily connect dots. And then it wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I saw the movie Walk the Line with Joaquin Phoenix. And really, that was kind of like the gateway for me being reintroduced to Johnny Cash, having a deeper understanding, a little bit of who he was. I mean, watching the movie was enough for me to get really interested in his life and his music. And from there, you know, I got hooked.
So. We all did. I mean, the guy was a great performer. And I remember that that episode of Columbo, by the way. I think he played a televangelist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah. So appropriate, right?
Yeah, it really was. So I thought what really was interesting when I got the CD and the information on you, Brian, is that here you are. You're an African-American guy born in the Midwest, raised on soul music. What got you? I know you like Johnny Cash, but what made you think, hey, this is a guy I want to sing his songs?
Well, I love the music. It's really well written, from you know, just a songwriting standpoint. I love a lot of the messaging that he has in the music, and being a man of faith, a person that was, you know, seeking to do what was right. You know, but the thing that, you know, a lot of people that I try to express to people too is, there's not that much distance between me and Johnny Cash. Like, I tell people all the time, you know what, I don't tell. I ask the question, what do you think Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, Johnny Cash, and Hank Williams had in common? And when I ask that question, people say, what? And my response is, they all knew Old Rugged Cross. All of them grew up singing Old Rugged Cross.
Hmm.
You know, so while there may not seem to be an immediate connection point, I think that they're not that far off from one another in terms of, you know, musical heritage. For me, that's why it's not like a huge stretch to cover some of his music. The other thing is, Ray Charles kind of proved to us that you can take that music, country music, or just well-written music, and use, you know, soul aesthetics to interpret it. And it works because it's well-written music. You know, and for me, as long as you're staying true to the basic melody and the words, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of found in music.
I really enjoyed the your take on everything. You know, you're a longtime resident of Ferguson, Missouri, and unfortunately, Ferguson became nationally known for a problem that they had there. Do you think that music can help soothe some of the problems we're having in our country?
I think that music can play the role of, number one, shining the light on issues, and also kind of sustaining people through issues. That's kind of how I see the role of music and being an artist in this city. Is music is a way to get people to come together. Usually in settings that are not threatening.
Yeah, I know. So I know you do. You do a lot of stuff for charities. I noticed that a lot of the stuff you do is you have a spiritual commitment that that you do. As a founder and CEO of Life Arts, leadership, innovation, faith, and excellence. You mentor young people. You do a lot of things for the community. And I'm just wondering, are you at all involved politically in this politically charged atmosphere we're in now?
Everybody plays a role in society, and my role is to be an artist that is committed to truth and to work and serve young people and help them discover their voice and help them become the soundtrack of the city, the same way that I'm trying to become the soundtrack of the city. I think that music has the type of power that, in a sometimes a subversive way, can get into the hearts and minds of people and affect the change that other means may not. And that's kind of the area and gifting that I feel God has given to me. I'm not a go out in the streets, you know, and protest in that way kind of individual. I vote, but I, at the same time, I feel that, you know, the greatest vote that I can cast every single day of my life is to live with a clear conscience in accordance with my faith, raise my 6 children to be productive, God-fearing people, and yes, create art that speaks to issues, create art that speaks to power, and create art that enables, and well, not enables, but that empowers others. And I don't know. I guess that's my way of being political.
Well, I think that in,
that sounded
in a way,
like a very democratic answer. Yeah.
I think in a way, I've listened to some of your music, not just on this album, but some of your older stuff that I was listening to, and I did notice that it mostly has a unifying theme of hope.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important in these days, because it looks like a lot of people have given up hope.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think that maybe they can recover some of it. One of the things I thought was very interesting on your album, we're talking about to Brian Owens, and the album's called Soul of Cash, is the song that you actually did, an original tune called Soul in My Country. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when telling people about this project over the last 3 years, I got different responses, but the response I get the most is a blank stare. So I think I'm doing a Johnny Cash record. And people are like, really?
Wow. Sure you are. Okay, what else?
Yeah. Or it's like, how's that going to work? So I just wanted to write a song that kind of reflected the idea that it's not a stretch for me to do this. I mean, I like country music a lot, the same way that I like American popular song, and for many of the same reasons. It's well-written music. It's great melodies. It's great narratives. It has a singability to it that is pretty inviting and intuitive. So as a singer and an artist, you know, when it comes to music that I want to interpret, it makes a whole lot of sense to me. But I got with Reese Palmer, who's co-writer on it, and, you know, we both talked about, you know, we were talking about, from her, she has an ongoing struggle with being an African-American woman who's a country artist. And for me, being this young African-American soul artist who wants to interpret music by a man who's arguably one of, you know, one of the greatest, you know, country and roots artists of all time, but just definitely a legendary icon. So, you know, once we started writing and just talking, the song just kind of wrote itself. And then when we, after we recorded it, got Robert Randolph on it, and it was rap. He came in and put a nice little bow on it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's one of the best steel guitar guys around, pedal steel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But so I got a question for you. When you were with Sidewinder, said that you performed at the White House. Who was the president when you were performing?
President Obama.
And how? What kind of experience was that for you?
It was amazing. We didn't get to meet President Obama. We got to meet First Lady Michelle Obama and Jill Biden. And it was a joining forces event. So it was all about military families, and, you know, and that kind of thing. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I was honored to be a veteran. I'm honored.
Yeah.
You know, only 1% of our nation serves. 1% of the population puts on a uniform, and when you really realize that, having deployed and seeing, you know, some of these young folks who are over there doing these amazing and oftentimes stressful jobs, you know, I'm honored.
And we honor you. We thank you for your service as well, because without all the people who volunteer to be in the service, this country would not have the freedoms that we have right now.
Amen.
So, it's but, you know, I at the time we're in right now, it with people are kneeling at the national anthem and all these kind of things. How does that affect? How do you feel about it?
Well, again, as an artist, you know, I mean, I don't know that I have a direct feeling about it. I think that people have a right to, you know, express patriotism or to express their dislike about things in this country. And as far as I know, written down anywhere, there's no place that says that you can't kneel. In a situation like that, I think people have to do what's in accordance with their conscience. And if it's not violating any rules, laws, or regulations, we live in a country where they can do that. We often crucify people in the court of public opinion. And I think that the people who engage in stuff in things like this from either side, whatever, however you feel about it, understand and know that. And at the end of the day, you know, we're all going to have to get up, look in the mirror, look at our fellow Americans and community members, and talk about and address the issue. So, you know, to me, that's the biggest thing is, what happens when everybody gets up? And what happens when everybody sits down? Because at some point, that's going to have to happen.
Mm.
Whoever's kneeling is going to have to stand, and whoever's standing is going to have to kneel. So, and whether it's at a dinner table or whether it's in a chapel on our knees, everybody's going to end up in that same place. And then to me, that's where the real conversation is going to start.
Mm. Well, the conversation starting here with Soul of Cash. It's a great CD from Brian Owens and the Dreams of Soul. And by the way, if you want to get it, you can go to BrianOwensSoul.com. That's his website. Brian is involved, as I mentioned before, with Life Arts Leadership, Innovation, Faith, and Excellence. He mentors young people You're also part of In Unison program in tandem with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra in Missouri, St. Louis, the University of Missouri at St. Louis. So you are working with a lot of kids, a lot of young people, and young people out there listening right now. If you want to connect with Brian, you can go to brianowenssoul.com. And if you're any age, you will enjoy this the CD. I really love some of the takes on it. Ring of Fire was one of my favorites. Walk the Line. Sunday Morning Coming Down, I thought that was a great job. I didn't realize your dad was a preacher. So
yeah, man.
Yeah, this led to you. I think this led you to a lot of what you do, maybe.
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest things that connects me with Johnny Cash, too, is like just the amount of just the gospel music that he did. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a connection point for a lot of people in this country, especially those who grew up. You know, you grew up in the South, or you know, a lot of people say like the guys that were in the Million Dollar Quartet, you know, were basically just guys running away from the ministry.
Yeah.
You know, but that same thing could be said for, you know, guys like Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Preacher's kids. So we're all more connected and have a.
Yeah. I find the notes that I'm I'm reading the notes from Man in Black, which is one of the songs that you did of Johnny Cash's, and you said you wrote you can see injustices go on in this world. You don't want to gloss over them. You want to be honest about them. Maybe you want to try and change them, but you can't be an agent for change if you don't realize first why there needs to be a change. This is a lesson for everybody. I thought that was pretty pretty astute.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the biggest issues in our country right now, not to say that there hasn't been in the past, is just a basic lack of consideration for other people. And a willingness to really, really sit down and understand where someone is coming from. Whether you agree or not, whether you like or not, just a basic consideration of others that says, you know, I value you as a human being created in the image of God. Like, I value you. And I think that, you know, until we can really have that basic, have a baseline consideration for each other and understanding for each other, we're always going to have these kinds of, you know, kind of issues that we're seeing right now in our country. And that's what we want to do. Like, I feel like doing this album, for me, I mean, that's what we're going to be people who listen to this album and say, it's good, but it's not Johnny. You know, or... well, country's not my thing. And that's cool. That's fine. You know, that's fine. As long as we can be considerate of one another and be kind, you know, I think it's still a place where we can, an opportunity to have a conversation.
I think it's a great CD. I'm not a big country fan, but I really liked it a lot. So I think that other people will like it as much as well. And again, they can go to brianowenssoul.com to check out Brian's stuff. And I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir. Have a good morning.
You too.